blessings that I was able to enjoy with that job was being able to go out into the woods quite often. And many times I was able to go up onto the Mount Hood, the actual mountain itself, and many times I would have to do down timber surveys for wildlife management. In this one particular remote area that I was able to, I drove to and I hiked about 3 miles to get to this 11-acre plot to do a down timber survey, and spending several hours there, and I stopped for about 30 minutes or so, and I walked out a little bit further because I thought what I saw was a clearing, and I want to sit down and eat my lunch. But I can remember as I walked out towards this clearing, there was a cliff of about 100 feet or so. So I stopped and I sat down on a stump there and I looked out over, and you could see across the state line into Washington State and see Mount Jefferson and some of the other nice features that you can see on the Mount Hood National Forest, even across the Columbia River Gorge and stuff. And I can remember sitting there thinking to myself, how peaceful is this? It was absolutely quiet. No roads around, no cars, no traffic, no airplanes, no people. All by myself to sit there and contemplate and enjoy my lunch and think, how absolutely peaceful is this? When you think about the word peace, what is your definition? Webster defines peace as an absence of mental stress. Now, how often do we enjoy peace in the world that we live in today? The absence of mental stress with life and kids, the day-to-day stressors that we go through. Perhaps maybe we don't have this perfect picture of what peace is to us as individuals. Peace is also defined as freedom from disputes or harmonious relations. I can remember I went to see a lady when I was in Alabama. Her husband had passed away several months before, and I stopped by to check on her, and I remember sitting there, and I asked her how she was doing, and she said, "I'm at peace." What does that mean? I'm at peace. She said, "I'm okay with it now." She said, I've accepted it, but I'm at peace with it because I know where he's at." He was a good Christian man, lived a faithful life. So when we think about the idea of peace, maybe perhaps each of us can draw up a picture in our mind as to what that peace is going to be. What would our perfect picture of peace be in relation to how we live and how we cope with things, how we deal with the stressors of life, how we just go about life in general day by day? And can we say that we have peace in our lives as God's children? Then you think about what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, around verse 15. He says, "We have a peace that passes all understanding because of who Christ Jesus is." Because we are children of God, we have a peace that the world, in the absence of what it means to be a Christian based upon the definition of salvation, they don't truly have that peace because they don't know what that peace really is. But for us, how do we define peace in relation to being Christians? If you look at the third epistle of John, John is writing to one of his friends called Gaius. And John expresses his desire for Gaius's good health. He says that he wants him to be in good health. He wants him to have a good life. He compares that physical health with more or less his spiritual health. And he says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So what he was saying was that things were well with his soul. Just as Kurt led us just a few moments ago in that song, and you didn't even know I was going to bring that up. But we just sang that song, "It is well with my soul." And the premise of that song is that we have peace. Now, and when you think about this song, it speaks of how things are well regardless of what's happening around us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what trials or temptations we might be faced with, if we look at it from the standpoint of being a Christian, and we use God's Word to direct us through that time in our life when what we might be going through is difficult, that we can have a peace that the world does not fully comprehend, nor do they fully understand what it means to be a Christian. That's because we can be at peace because it is well with my soul. Well, we understand that it's well with our soul first and foremost because God is in control. If we understand that God is in control in our lives, whether good or bad, whether good times or bad times, whether we're going through trials or struggles or whatever the case is, then we understand we have a peace. But let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like your life was out of control? Shake your head like this. We've all experienced it. We've all struggled at one point, right? We don't like to feel out of control because life sometimes can feel like that. Maybe something's not going well with your job or your marriage or whatever we're going through in that particular life, we have to understand that God is in control of all those things. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 1:3, he says that all things are upheld by the power of His Word. In Colossians 1:17 through 18, Paul states, as He is before all things and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And then Isaiah says in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. When we understand that God is in control and we accept that God is in control, then we have peace in our lives because God is in control. But what happens many times in our lives is we begin to play tug of war with our problems with God. But brethren, I'll tell you this, God is not going to play tug of war with your problems. Either you let go of the rope or you hold on to the rope, because God is not going to fight you over it. And if we want to truly have peace in who God is and what we are as God's children, and to have that peace that Paul talks about that passes all understanding, it means that regardless of what happens in my life, God is going to take care of me if I seek Him first, Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I had the privilege of going over to Carthage today and hearing Brother Randy speak. And he spoke upon what it means to be blessed as a child of God, and the blessings that we receive is because we truly understand what it means to be blessed. But that's based upon God's conditions of what the blessings are, not upon our standards of what we want those blessings to be. So when we understand what it means to be blessed, when we understand of letting go of the problems that we have in our life and allowing God to be in control and allowing that peace to overcome us to say, I'm putting this in God's hand, then we know what it means to truly be at peace with the Lord. But that's easier said than done sometimes, right? We've got to have the attitude of Paul in Philippians 1:21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was at peace that God was in control as he was going about his earthly ministry and helping the Lord's church, even through facing persecution and even facing trials and tribulations. All that Paul was suffering as a child of God, he knew that as he was living, his reward was going to be heaven, and he knew that God was in control, so he was at peace with it. But also that we understand that all things work together for good. What Paul writes in Romans 8 and verse 28 sometimes is misunderstood, and it's taken out of context. But Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to, listen to this, His purpose. A lot of times people will say, well, everything's going to work out good for the Christian. Yes, certainly in the end it will. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about. All things will work out according to God's purpose for us in the end, on the day of judgment. Because God has told us that, and we have peace in that, but it's sometimes hard to see the good in a bad situation, isn't it? Sometimes it's really difficult to see the positive in something that's negatively affecting us. It's easy to focus upon bad things, and we tend to worry about the problems that don't even exist sometimes. I heard something on TV the other day concerning anxiety and worry, and the guy said anxiety is simply being punished twice. Instead, we should focus upon the possible good that might come. This is a test. This is only a test. I have no idea what that is. Okay. I thought somebody was testing me. But consider Joseph. Think about the possible things that could have happened to Joseph, but when you think about how Joseph looked at the good that came out of the situation and not the bad things, you can think about that. His brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. But God raised him up, and in Genesis 50 and verse 20 it says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Or you consider Jesus rejected and despised of mankind, cruelly beaten and crucified, but God raised him up through the death and brought about salvation for all of mankind, John 3 and verse 16. And with that we have a peace and understanding that all things work out to our good because of what Jesus went through. Because God works all things out for good, we can have a peace knowing that God will even under bad circumstances look out for His children. But sometimes that's a difficult thing to do, to work out things according to God's plan and according to His purpose, because really what we have to understand is that troubles are temporary, aren't they? Sometimes it seems as if those troubles never have an end to them, don't they? And sometimes we make bargaining a tool through prayer, if God will only remove this one time. And sometimes we even perhaps make empty promises. But brethren, that's not truly understanding what peace is. There's that old spiritual thing my grandmother used to say, all God's children got problems. And we do. Everyone has troubles in their life. Everyone has disagreements with families and friends and neighbors and co-workers, shortages of finances and debt. All of us have to deal with death, and our problem becomes, how do we cope with the troubles that we have? How do we have that peace that the Bible tells me I'm supposed to possess and have? Because right now, Lord, I'm just absolutely stressed out to my limit right now. And I don't think that I can take any more of this. Well, let's look at what Paul was telling a truly stressed congregation in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Brethren, let's explain this verse contextually and what it's talking about. Paul is not saying that God will tempt you above that which you're able in relation to, as we often hear, He's not going to put any more on you than you can handle. That's not what he's saying. God doesn't tempt us that way. Look at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. "Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God." God doesn't tempt us as to put trials on us to see if we can handle those problems or not. But here's what Paul is saying. You're going to face struggles and difficulties in your life. The Corinthian church was facing those trials and those difficulties. There was strife, there was problems, there was adultery. They were improperly worshiping the Lord Himself. All of these things were unfolding, and Paul said, "Look, you've got troubles, so does everybody else." But Paul said, here's something that we have the world doesn't have. Is because we are children of God, because we can possess a peace that the world does not truly understand, it's the last part of the verse we need to truly understand here. "But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear that temptation." Here's what Paul is saying. Your problems are not special. Other people in this world have faced the very similar problems that you have. But here's what we've got in God that helps us to understand peace in that situation, is God allows us and helps us to get through it and gives us a way to escape it. You want to know how we do that? We flee from the devil and turn towards righteousness. That's how we do that. But sometimes the world keeps... Sometimes, and I've heard people say this, and I know in life they mean it well. And when we're struggling and going through that difficulty, we think that God just keeps piling it on. He just puts more rocks in the backpack. Lord, how much are you going to keep putting on me? Remember the conversation that Job had with God? When Job, in essence, was questioning who God was, he was trying to understand all that he was going through. And what was it that God told Job? And you would think, in that situation, God could have been angry at Job, but that's not how I picture the conversation unfolding. I picture God as he's talking to Job, and he said, "Job, were you there when I created everything? Were you there on the day that I put the stars in heaven, when I created the earth? Were you there when I put man and put the breath in him? Were you there when I did all of these things?" So Job, don't pretend to be me. So when we go through those difficulties of life, God does not test us in the way we think we're being tested. We learn faith and increase faith through patience, as James talks about in James 1, 2 through 4. We increase faith as we go through the trials. Our patience increases through maturity as we go through the trials. Some people say, well, the Lord must really know that I have a lot of faith because He keeps putting it on me. So what about those people that we see on the other side of the pew who never seem to have any troubles and struggles in life? Do we think perhaps their faith is lacking because God has never tested them truly? I mean, I know people that have really never experienced any type of hardship in their life. That's not a bad thing. And then I've known people, on the other hand, to go through trial after trial after trial after pain after agony after struggle and truly understand what it means to be faithful in the times of difficulty and have a peace through all of it because they knew that God was going to carry them through it. That's what it means to have peace, brethren. Remember again, when we think about the idea or the definition of peace, the absence of mental stress, or freedom from disputes or harmonious relations. The Bible teaches for the Christian, at least, that troubles are temporary. Notice again what Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Paul writes, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So as we look at the trials and the struggles that we go through in this life, we remember they're only temporary. They're but yet for a moment, as James talks about in James 4 and verse 14. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We've all been through that difficult situation where we say, is this ever going to end? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel that everybody keeps talking about? But when you get to the end of the tunnel, finally, as the light begins to shine, as you come through it on the other side, you don't really look back and go, man, that took forever, because we've been carried through it. I always think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 as they're going through that fiery furnace. You notice that God didn't take them out of it and put them on the other side? He didn't take the fire away. He helped them get through the fire itself. He helped them get through the struggle of what they were facing because they weren't willing to reject their God and serve these false gods and these false idols. They weren't willing to give up on who God was. But it's interesting, in the face of adversity, as they're getting ready to enter into this incendiary device, that they said, if God is going to take care of us, then good, God's going to take care of us. But even if He doesn't deliver us through this, we're not going to give up on who God is, because this is a difficult situation that we're facing. And having understanding on who God is and that He's in control, and knowing that all things work together for good, and understanding that pain is but temporary, trials are but temporary, that we can understand what it means to truly have peace as a child of God, because I know I'm going to get through all these things. But I think with that, we also know that salvation is available for all. Consider a world where salvation is not possible. Would we have any peace at all as a child of God? Would there be any hope of eternity if we knew that there was no salvation for us and that this world was it? Some people believe that. And to me, that in of itself doesn't bring peace. That brings stress, because you have no hope of what's going to come. But we have something far greater that we can look forward to, don't we? There would be no peace, and certainly there would be no comfort from death. Paul writes in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the peace we have, brethren. We have peace with God because of who He is and because of what Jesus Christ did. You know, over the last several years, we've watched these individuals that have been executed on television because they're Americans, because they represent our country, or whatever the case is. And I can remember the very first individual, unfortunately, that was executed. I remember asking myself, and he was simply a journalist, but I remember asking myself, if I were faced with that situation in that moment, would I have peace? Because if I can't say I wouldn't have peace, then I have nothing for which to look forward to. Because ultimately, for us to have peace, we know the end result is victory. Have you ever watched a game that your team is playing and you know they're going to win? You know the peace that comes over you because you know your team is going to win. I mean, they're up by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Kentucky didn't have much peace last week, but I can remember, you know, you watch these basketball games. There's no peace in those games. I mean, it's back and forth. You're biting your nails. You're on the edge of your seat. You're totally stressed out. Right? Who's going to win the game? But we know when our team is going to win, we have peace, right? We don't have anything to worry about. And when I come to the book, the Bible itself, and when I come to the book of Revelation at the end, I sum it up for you. We win. We have victory in who Christ Jesus is because He conquered death at Calvary. Because He was raised on that third day to give us eternity through our faith and obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a peace and understanding because faith is the victory that overcomes the world that we often sing, right? That's the peace that we have. I think about 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So brethren, we win. And I think about all that the church has gone through over the last several decades and the persecution that it's faced and the troubles that it's been through. But you know, the church is still standing today. Because of the cornerstone of who Jesus Christ is, the Lord's church still stands today. Brethren, we can have peace in that. Because the end result is victory, we can have peace. It is absolutely well with my soul tonight because I know who's in control. I don't have to play tug of war with Him because I know that I can give everything over to God. I can put it at His feet. And I can back up and I can walk away. In that, through patience, I must learn to allow God to be in control, right? To count it all joy when I fall into those difficult situations, knowing that the trying of my faith is going to work patience, and when I let patience have its perfect work, that I can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, because I have peace with who God is. I'm also well in my soul, because I know all things are going to work to good for those that are called according to His purpose. That's God's children. And also because those troubles too shall pass. The Bible, we often read those words, this too shall pass. These things will be put away. But also because salvation is available to all those who choose to obey it. But finally, because I know that we win. The peace, though, we understand is only available to those who are Christians. Only those who choose to follow and obey that plan of salvation that God gives to us in the Bible. So, tonight, can you say that you have peace? Can you say as a child of God that you put everything at the feet of God and allow Him to handle your problems? Can you say, I know I'm going to get through this because I have God, because I have a peace? Peace is something I think we all struggle with to have. To be at peace with something. To understand truly what peace is. To not be in dispute with somebody of like kindred faith or somebody that we love. To have a peace in knowing that in the end, God is going to make everything okay because there's no pain and no sorrow in heaven. That's the peace we look forward to, right? If you don't know that peace tonight because you're not a Christian, I encourage you to obey the gospel tonight. You've heard the gospel, you believe in what the gospel teaches, Matthew or Mark 16:15 and 16. If you're ready tonight to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior who died on the cross for you, Matthew 10:32, and to put on Christ in baptism tonight, Acts 2:38. I can pretty much guarantee you, if you choose to obey the gospel tonight, as you come out of that watery grave of baptism, you'll truly understand what it means to have peace in God. Because all of those past sins and past burdens are completely removed and washed away. And if you're here tonight as a child of God who's struggling to have peace in your life as a Christian, put it in God's hands. Let Him handle it. I guarantee you He'll take care of it for you. Sometimes it's not always in the way perhaps we fashion it to be or want it to be, but I guarantee you that God is going to take care of it for you. If we can help you tonight, please come. Have the peace tonight as together we stand and as we sing.
Marvelous grace of